From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Pope Benedict XVI arrives in the U.S. tomorrow. It is his first visit since he was elected in 2005. Catholics will be flocking to New York and Washington, D.C. to see the Pope, and Benedict will encounter a church with a vibrant and rebellious faith. As NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, most American Catholics don't know much yet about their new pontiff.
They're not professional, just people from Catholic churches in the Washington area, but they are motivated. They auditioned for the choir, they have practiced for hours, and they've memorized 134 pages of music, all for the chance to sing for the Pope.
It's a word, right? Not before. Here we go, two,
These 250 singers, gathered for rehearsal at St. Mark's Parish in Hyattsville, Maryland, will perform at the Papal Mass on Thursday. Anne Ingram, a grandmother, says this will be the Mass of a lifetime.
We come on Sundays and we get pumped up, but there's sometimes we get premium gas. Going down there is going to be premium octane for a Lamborghini.
Mark Hammett, a science teacher, says he knows little about the Pope, but he missed the chance to see the man who shaped his faith, and he won't let that happen again.
As I've grown and grown with John Paul the Great, he's become a part of my life. Now, Pope Benedict, you know, is still early in the papacy. I doubt he'll have as long a papacy as John Paul the Great had, but, you know, I still feel that affinity. He's the Pope. He's the Papa.
Like the singers, Pope Benedict is ironing out his image. He has a lot of ground to cover. When Joseph Ratzinger was elected Pope 3 years ago, he was known as a dogmatic disciplinarian.
I think people will be surprised by his grandfatherly personality.
George Weigel is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center and an author of a biography of the Pope.
People who don't know who this man is, who have the cartoon Ratzinger in their head, are going to be surprised by what a mild-mannered, gentle, friendly soul he in fact is.
Polls suggest American opinion is already softening toward Benedict, says Luis Lugo, director of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. Their survey suggests that many people, including church-going Catholics, know virtually nothing about this pope, but those who do like him. 74% say he's doing a good job.
Now, that's still 10 percentage points lower than the high point of the American public's view of John Paul II, but it is comparable to Americans' favorabilities towards Billy Graham.
When Benedict arrives, he will see a large church, but one in decline, although Latino immigrants have bolstered the numbers somewhat. Lugo says his surveys show that about a third of people born Catholic have left the faith, and many nominal Catholics rarely darken the door of a church.
In a sense, the Roman Catholic Church, when it comes to evangelizing, could stay busy with Catholics without having to go after anybody else.
And Pope Benedict could stay very busy at Georgetown University. On an early spring day, dozens of students saunter through the main quadrangle of this Jesuit university on their way to class. Maria Malvar, a junior, says she used to be involved in church. She thought Pope John Paul II was a rock star, but she dislikes Benedict's strict theology.
I believe Pope John Paul II did a lot to bring the youth back to the church. And I kind of feel that Pope Benedict, it's not that it's reversed a little, but I do feel a regression. I do feel that a lot of youth have pulled away from the church.
Her friend, Billy Dumay, nods.
I feel he'll do the Catholic guilt trip.
Dumay sees his faith as a personal worship of God, not a set of rules. And he's not thrilled with Benedict's battle against the secular culture.
Ending secularism to him is, you know, going to church, making sure that you go through these formal motions. And if you don't do that, then you're not, quote unquote, a good Catholic.
Other students say the Pope has ignored the things that matter to many American Catholics: birth control, the ordination of women, and reaching out to other faiths. And then there's the sex abuse scandal. At least two bishops asked Benedict to meet with victims and to visit Boston, where the scandal broke. He declined, which disappointed Lindsay Pettingill, a graduate student at Georgetown.
As the spiritual leader, but also the figurehead of the church, he needs to speak from above, and perhaps by ignoring the issue, he's setting a bad precedent.
Of course, many students disagree. Sarah Kinsella, a medical student, believes Benedict is delivering God's message to a materialistic nation.
He strikes me as just a very holy man of God, and I feel very, very proud to be Catholic with him leading the church and being the face of Christ on this earth.
And Rob Shadid, a sophomore, says the Pope has to be tough. For example, some students here complained that one of their professors is being investigated by the Vatican for his liberal theology. But Shadid says the Pope needs to preserve a pure faith.
It's important that the message being conveyed is the same from everyone. It's like putting out different advertisements with different logos. You don't do that. You have to make sure that everyone's saying the same thing, because otherwise the dogma of the church falls apart. It's everything we're founded on.
Shadid hopes that Pope Benedict will focus on foundational teachings while he's here. Love, hope, and harmony. That's what the choir members rehearsing at St. Mark's Parish are striving to achieve. And what would Paula Casey like to hear from the Pope?
I'd like to hear him say he'd love the music.
Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.